The doors are closed, so we could get started. This is the Power Apps Common Data Model Roadmap session. My name is Arif Qureshi. I'm a Director of Program Management for the Common Data Model features and for Dynamics AX.
Hi, I'm Arijit Basu. I'm a PM in Arif's team in the Common Data Platform.
So kind of interested to see, we've had a lot of questions on this topic, like what you're looking for. So how many people are here from one of the Power Apps deep dives or the Sunday session? Yeah, a few people. And then how many people are Dynamics CRM or AX folks who are wondering what this is all about? I see quite a bit more folks. OK, so what we would like to do is, since there are so many questions about this and we've kind of answered one-on-one, we thought we'd put a little detail into exactly what our vision is and what we're thinking. One of the reasons this is called a roadmap is because we're in implementation phase of it. A lot of things are in preview. The common data models features are in preview now, and when we build the integration features in the next few months, they also will come out in preview. So we're calling this the roadmap now. We'll continue to do webinars and other sessions, blog entries to give detail as it comes out. So starting with this slide, if you went to the Power App session, you saw this one. I think it's a very useful slide to kind of show what the problem area is that we're targeting here with Power Apps and with CDM under it. So there are only a handful of business apps that merit the time and cost of custom software development. So things cost a lot. It's hard to find the talent to get these apps built. And then if you buy apps off the shelf, they don't solve very much more problems. And then you have to customize them or configure them to suit your service. And I don't know if you can see those gray tiles there, but the problem space is huge. Teams want to build apps for their particular scenarios. They want to automate with flow their particular things. And out-of-the-box apps or getting a custom app built is not an easy job. So the reason it's not easy is because there's always been a choice. You can either buy an off-the-shelf system that's secure, scalable, managed, has management interfaces for your IT department. It's integrated with your partner systems, is compliant to laws. So you can buy that off the shelf or get a custom one built at great cost. Or you can do a fast iterative cross-platform solution that exactly meets your needs, but is very hard to make it do what's on the left. And our goal with the Power Apps, which will help you do the right side very quickly, and with the common data model, which will give you a data store and business logic execution environment that's going to give you the left side. We're hoping that this versus will not be there, so you'll be able to do all of this. So what are we talking about? And we're going to go into great detail here, which I think is necessary given the questions that we've had over the week. The common data model, we want it to be the backbone for storing business data for Dynamics and for things that integrate with Dynamics. So basically, it's an operational data store, but it's also a transaction processing store. And I will give you a little bit more detail of what that means in the upcoming slides. Into this store, we'll have synchronization of data from cloud services. So if you're a Power Apps developer today, you know that there's a lot of connectors that connect to various cloud services. We want to follow a similar model with the data integration, where you will have connectors, and you can pick a connector to synchronize. You'll configure it, and then you'll be able to synchronize data over. And we also would like to, in addition to cloud services, we want to synchronize data from the intelligence assets that Azure has. Cortana intelligence services, data factories, those sorts of things will be tightly integrated. So once the data is in, we will have pro dev tools. and data APIs so that folks can build those third-party apps that I mentioned earlier were hard to build, but in some cases, if you want to build them, you'll be able to build them on that same secure store. And what we're really excited about is once the solution is in your organization, in your department, then you can enable your power users or citizen developers or whatever the term is for people who don't want to know how to write code or crack open Visual Studio to build apps, to build automation, to build analytics. And you've already seen this happen with Power BI and analytics, where the business personas are kind of building their own dashboards. We want that to be the case for Power Apps, and we want that to be the case for Flow with automation. And then I think you guys have seen this slide, so kind of just hammering this one in one more time, Measure, Act, and Automate, and it's Power BI, Power Apps, and Flow. And at the bottom, we have the common data model, where it can be a data source, and connectors and gateways, which is another data source. And we'll talk about why, in this particular session, why we think the common data model is a useful one and how it can be used. In between, we will have a common data model SDK, which will integrate with the professional developer platforms that we have in Azure, and that will light up. But we will not go much into that today. And then the last kind of overview slide, which is we want to build solutions that are going to be an app source. The solutions can be built of these building blocks, Office 365, Power BI, Cortana Intelligence, IoT, the Dynamics 365 suite with sales from CRM, from operations, that's AX. Line of business apps that the customer builds himself or herself, and third-party apps that somebody else has built on our Pro SDK that you've purchased from AppSource. All those are sitting on top of a common platform, which is Power Apps, Power BI, Power BI Embedded, and Flow, and either data is in common data model or with connectors. And then finally, all sitting on Azure. So let's just dive head first into this. What is the common data model? This is a question I've gotten for the last 3 days. So I thought last night I would try to answer it. And unfortunately, it took me a slide with so many bullets to answer it. But let me just go over it one by one. And then we'll walk through each of the bullets with a little build slide. So it's hopefully clear what I'm talking about. So first of all, the common data model is an easy-to-provision, scalable data store that provides security, storage, and behavior by an entity model. Basically, there's a way to model entities that also plugs into security, that also will allow us to put behavior on those entities in the future, and obviously will give a way to model storage. Then the second one is the more interesting one, which is the common data model can serve as an operational data store and a transaction processing store. And once you get these slides, you can look at the little asterisks I have at the bottom. Operational data store, the definition of that is, or you can look it up on Wikipedia. In an operational data store, you pull data from other systems so you can work on a composite version of that data and usually work on it in a read-only fashion. Transaction processing store is one where you can do atomic transactions across your entities so everything is consistent and correct. So we are aiming to support both modes here with the common data model. So A is the operational data store characteristic. Data can be copied into standard or custom entities from multiple systems of record. I'll show you a build on this one. We also will provide then tools to cleanse the data, to get rid of redundancies, to run business rules to ensure data integrity of that data. And the final result is moved into entities, and is the entities are used as read-only representations of what came from the system of record. So those are a lot of words, but we do this in our other products. So like I said before, that we're from the AX team, we have some experience in this, and we'll do some demos to kind of show you what we're thinking and how we're planning on doing it. The second one is transaction processing. So this one is a straightforward one. So data can be represented by updatable standard or custom entities which support atomic reads and writes. So that atomic basically means I can do like a few things in a transaction, it will always come out consistent. So whenever you're doing updates, you need that. And then finally, we will have all the operational data store data, and we will also have the transaction processing data in one store. And we can drive insights from that data. We're looking at various options. Today, we can generate the Power BI models directly off that content. We're also looking at analytics with the in-memory cubes that are also being worked on in our group. So number two, we're going to spend a lot of time on. I think that's where you guys have questions, so we'll do some builds. Number three is just saying that we have a standard schema, and we will take a look at that and see what our vision is for that. We've also had a lot of questions on why is that there, so we'll try to walk you through one of the scenarios that we think is important. So, and then, you know, with all these capabilities, the common data model, working with Power Apps, working with Power BI, working with Flow, empowers Power users to measure, act, and automate, which is our mission. Okay, so first, diving into storage and data synchronization, this is the easiest. So the thing that we offer, even in the preview, it's easy to kind of see this and reap the benefits of it. It's simple to sign up for storage and provisioning. So all you have to do is go to powerapps.com. You sign up. So today we have a trial. In the future, you'll be able to sign up, either purchase a license right there or purchase a license through whatever mechanism you use to purchase from Microsoft. And once you do that, you can get a small environment allocated to you for your one user that you signed up with. And as you add users, we're in the cloud, we grow with cloud scale. So as you add users, the storage is automatically allocated to you. As you add storage to your environment, it scales up automatically. Not only does it scale up, it's secure, reliable, and durable. It's simple to manage. We have admin portals, and many things are automated, so you don't have to do them, like backup, restore. We probably will have, knowing how these things go, we probably will provide backup restore solutions in the future, but right now it's all automated. It's kind of done behind the scenes. And you know, when you get a plethora of these environments in an organization, and we also have support for IT departments to take control, to monitor, to define policies of storage and data movement that will kind of help bigger companies uptake these features. And then finally, just for completeness, we talked about storage and entities kind of driving storage and behavior. So kind of just visualize that for you, what that means. So entities define a table behind them with columns and rows. And then entities, today we don't have business logic on the server side yet, but we're working hard on it. Where defaulting validation writes and deletes, you'll be able to write logic against. And then finally, this is built on proven Dynamics AX technology. So if you're familiar with that platform, you know that it scales to fairly big deployments, and that's what we've started with. Okay, so just key points for small environments. You can very easily start off with them, and then as you add users, it scales to meet your needs. Next thing I'd like to talk about is the operational data store side that we discussed earlier, and kind of give you an example of what we mean by that. So in this example, we have two systems of record, one at the top with entity A and one at the left with entity B. And we would like to build power apps and flows against these entities. And for various reasons, which I won't go into here, we're going to use a synchronization solution. So such solutions are very common. If you work in an enterprise, a lot of times you just get a feed of data and you don't get access to the original thing. So in this case, the first step is to our synchronization service that we're working on. It will load data from both systems. It will be asynchronous, bulk, fast, and then it will transform and transfer that data into staging entities. So I talked about, I think, data cleansing and data integrity checks. Things like, for example, mandatory fields or missing keys, you can't move the data directly into the destination because many times you have to fix that up along the way. So in AX, we have the concept of staging entities for that can be enabled for any entity. We're using that concept here. Once the data comes into staging entities, then cleanse it, run rules. If there are any errors, fix them. And then finally, the cleanse stuff is moved over into your CDM entities. And once it's there, those CDM entities are tightly integrated with Power Apps, with Flow, and soon in Power BI. And you can build those apps and start using them. And if you have a regular sync process that happens every hour or every day, then your flows will start firing and your Power Apps will be current. So this is the basic, you know, if we talk about operational data store, this is what we mean, that you're bringing kind of master data, you're bringing some other data into Power Apps to build Power Apps and flows on to build analytics dashboards. So this is the base. The second scenario is I grade all that stuff out because we're assuming that's going to be there and put some real entities. So this is the transaction processing scenario. So you bring customers from a CRM system at the top, and you bring products from an ERP system on the left. All that staging and cleansing and all that stuff happens, and you bring it into the standard customer entity in CDM, and you bring it into the standard product entity in CDM. So those things are kind of grayed out a little bit, because they're read-only. You can't. The only thing you can do with them is use them in lookups or use them in lists to search. What we really want to do in this case is create orders. And for whatever reason, we're not using our ERP or CRM system. It's a contrived example. But the interesting thing that we can do here is we can create a read-write entity in the CDM, either custom or use the existing one, and create relationships to the customer that we've data synced in and to the product that we've data synced in. And because we're doing the cleansing and integrity checks on the way in, we can make sure all the keys will line up when we actually use this system. So now you can do reads and writes on the orders. You can do reads on the customers and products to actually create the orders. And this is what we mean, that it's an operational data store and it's a transaction processing store. There's another example. So before we get to the final example, then for Power BI, once all the data, once all three entities are there in the common data model, you can then create an analysis model from it. If you're a Dynamics AX or Dynamics CRM customer, you already know we do this for those products. We will do that for this product as well. And we're looking at creating some in-memory cubes in the near future as well. So we saw operational data store. We saw the transactional processing of read-write on entities. And then this third one where the CDM is not a data warehouse. It doesn't aim to fulfill that goal. Data warehouse is where you keep historical data for long periods of time. We're not doing that. Instead, we're going to either use the in-memory queue processing or just Power BI model generation for now. Okay, and then to I won't summarize all this. I think I just talked about it. Another real scenario we thought, and we're going to build this app. So in a future webinar, you know, you will see this app. We have, at Microsoft, we have this health check that we all must do, and not must do, but we're encouraged to do. And if you do it, then you have choices of, you know, you can get $50 that you can donate to charity, or you can get a mug or some kind of reward.
Yep.
You can pick a reward is, I think, the point of that. And we know we have a human resources system that's closed to us. I don't think we're going to get a connector from Power Apps to that human resources system. And we also have an employee health system called Health Vault at Microsoft, where it's actually a medical, has medical information in it. So we probably won't get access to that either. But if we're the IT department, we probably can get feeds. Getting a feed is fairly common at Microsoft. In fact, they have something called a feed store that manages a bunch of feeds. So let's say we could get feeds. So we get bulk employee feed. And we, as we talked before, we put it into the staging table for employee, then we move it into employee. We get the yearly checkup status for the person. So this is not medical data. It's just that, hey, did you do it or not? And we move it through staging, and we move it into, the checkup state table. And then we have created a new custom entity here. Actually, all three may be custom entities, but we've related them together. So we've created a reward table that links to employee. We've created a checkup state table that links to employee. So now we have the right schema, and we can build Power Apps so that the employees can pick their gift option. We can build a flow that says when your checkup state, you know, that you got your, you did your checkup, then it can notify you, go get your gift selection, link into the Power App. And then finally, if we want to, we could publish that model to Power BI and do some analytics. So
this is a real life scenario where we can potentially go ahead and use within Microsoft, which we are planning to do.
Right. And these sorts of departmental apps or simple apps that, you know, kind of that first slide where you saw all the squares, these are the type of apps that are simple to build but may not be worth the, you know, $150,000 it costs to hire people to build a notification system, to build a visual, or to build the analytics. Okay. So now Arijit is going to show you where we are in that data sync scenario.
Thanks, Arif. Yeah. So as you've seen in the earlier slides, you know, it's the operational data store and the transactional data store. So in this demo, what we're going to show you is that we'll have an AX system, which we will synchronize data with the common data model, the same entities, customer, and we will actually have an app or a tablet or a phone app built on top of that. So you can see how data flows from different systems. In real life, you can think of having an AX 2012 and AX7 instance where you're running globally and you want a consolidated data store of customer, products, pricing. So you could actually use the synchronization framework to get the data out, sit on the common data model, and you can build apps or, you know, get data in Excel add-ins to get the consolidation done. And it's not only that it has to be AX7 or 2012 R3, you can also go ahead and do it with CRM or any other systems. So let me switch to the app. Okay, so on the left-hand side, I have the AX7 screen with a list of customers. On the right-hand side, I have an Excel, which is basically an add-in from Power Apps from this customer entity. So I'll just bring it down. So this is the CDM database, and there is this customer entity which I have. And in the customer entity, I have the sample data, which is default. go to the next page. So these are the data I have. So what I'm going to show out here is I'm going to create some records in EX7. And I'm going to use the sync framework to move the data into CDM, and I'll show you how the data is reflected in CDM. And this is the connectors and the sync framework which Arif was talking about. Also, we've made some improvements, or we are putting in some changes in EX. I'm sure for people who are in EX are familiar with the data management framework, the data import-export framework. So if I click on configure data source, we have added a new connector or a source and a destination data format called CDM, the common data model. So you will be able to go ahead and configure this. So if I click on the common data model, there are certain parameters which you need to configure so that data exchange can take place. So let me go back. And I have the Excel out here, and this is the data which is coming from CDM tables, the CDM entities. Okay, so let me go ahead and create a customer first. So I'll just go ahead and say, let's say Ignite. Is this better?
Yeah, okay. Arijit is the only person I know that runs at 100% resolution on these high def screens. Yeah.
Okay, so I have the customer group. I have, let's say, a phone. I'll put in some email. And I'll just save it. The customer is Ignite 2016. And here we are. I just go back. And here is my customer Ignite 2016. Now what I'll do is I'll go to data management, and you can go ahead and create a data project. So the data project you are familiar with, it's basically what data I want to export and using what connector. So I already have built in, and for existing users of AX, this is pretty simple to go ahead and do it. So I have a data export, it's the expo. I will go ahead and run this project. I have this customer entity, so from AX, I want to get data into CDM. So as of now, this is manual, the export function, but we are making it either as a schedule batch or run automatically every 5 minutes, 15 minutes, based on whatever recurring schedules you have. So I'll just go ahead and click on export. Yeah, I'll just refresh it. This is succeeded. So once this data has been succeeded, I should go ahead and get some notification out here. So let's just go back. Here, the notification is here. It's completed successfully. I'll just go back into the AX screen. Now you see the last data was AXP001. This is Excel. Now I'll just go ahead and select, click refresh, and you'll see the customer which has come out here, Ignite 2016, to show you that this is not a PowerPoint trick. This is the common data model database.
So in this case, we're using AX to illustrate this to you, what we're really trying to do.
And here is the customer, you know, Ignite, what I had created. So we're just taking this as an example. As Arif said, you can actually do it with other systems as well to have the system of records. So I've been kind of in implementations before. So we've seen a lot of customers who have multiple instances of databases, of AX, CRM, in different parts of the world, and when you upgrade, you don't upgrade them all together at once, so you do it stage-wise, but you really need consolidated data to build apps, dashboards, and things on. So this is one way where you can get the data from different versions of the same system, in fact, like an on-prem CRM versus an online, an AX 2012, 2009, and AX7. It can be anything else. Get it into CDM, into the common data store, because that single data store is like a canonical model. And once you get the data out here, you can then pivot it out, you can build your dashboards on, you can even go ahead and build mobile apps on for reporting, BI, and a host of other things. So.
Yep, and this is, again, the proof of concept we're doing with AX, because AX has all the things that we're mentioned before, has staging tables, has the integrity checks and the quality checks. Once we're done with the proof of concept, it may take another shape where, you know, we may build it into the Power Apps portal or something else. But we wanted to illustrate that we're working on an operational data store, and we have the know-how to kind of build that, and we're using our existing tools to kind of test it out. Okay, next thing we just wanted to talk at a high level about is security. So security is sort of become a well-known thing now. We have it in every Dynamics product, and pretty much every business app has it. So we're starting with entity-level security, where you can secure, create, update, delete, with permissions at the entity level. We know that's not enough for all the business scenarios, so we will soon follow with entity field security. And then two versions of record level security. One is record level security by owner, where the owner can be an individual or a team. If you're familiar with CRM, you know what that means. And the other one is business hierarchy based authorization. So you don't secure by individuals or teams. You just say, I give access to this business unit and all child units under it, and then things just happen magically. One of the things that we will do here is when you're building custom entities, we will have in that experience a way for you to say, I want this entity to take part in business hierarchy, and then the right things will get generated for it. The second bullet is saying that security is all great if your organization needs it, but if you're building, you know, team apps or departmental apps, it may just get in your way, or you have a test system or a dev system. So we have also kind of worked on that, and all the security features, you can just say, I want app sharing to be my way of sharing with my folks. I don't want to deal with all these role-based security permissions at the database level. You'll be able to configure it, an environment in that way, and then just have an easy experience like you do today with Power Apps. The third bullet actually is fairly important for us. Many of the systems like AX or CRM or NAV, they have one concept of a creator and database admin. So if you have access to the environment, you can pretty much do anything. We wanted to separate the database admin from the app and flow creator and the Power BI creator so that an organization can secure the data store, they can apply the right role-based security to it, maybe departmental security or whatever, but then they can open the environment up for their employees to build apps and flows and dashboards, and we think that's gonna be a very powerful tool. So everyone can create apps, flows, and dashboards, and users can only see data that they're allowed to see. And then the final thing here is that whatever security that you will configure here, we will make sure that security lights up in Power BI as well. Okay, so building apps on CDM entities is our next topic. So we're introducing the concept of entities. We're also extending the Power Apps app model to make sure that those entities are easy to use. So Power Apps is focused on power users. That means click-to-code application development. So you most of the time, you're dragging and dropping things. You're writing expressions that are very similar to what you would write in Excel. It has a very simple maintenance model. And the platform, even though it's very easy to use, you're not building to any particular Android or iOS or Windows platform. It's all abstracted from you so that, you know, we evolve the platform and your apps live for a long time. So that's another common pattern in business apps. They need some abstraction. The thing different here is that it's very easy to build these apps now. Costs very little. The primary model concepts that we have in the current Power Apps model are apps, screens, connections, and data sources. To those concepts, in order to make building apps with entities easier, we know that you're going to have many entities, they're going to have relationships, lots and lots of forms that you would have to hand code if we didn't do these things. So we're introducing some shared concepts that will tie into the primary concepts like forms, field groups, entities, process, permission sets, and permissions. These primary concepts will use a common set of secondary concepts like data types, controls, expressions, built-in functions, enumerations, labels for localization. we feel that if we get a uniform model like this, it's much better than many of the models we've seen before, because it not only gives you very easy to build apps that look very good, just like you want them, and it also lets you build the declarative stuff that, you know, if you need to build 100 forms, you don't want to fine-tune each one. So we think once we get both of these, we're going to be in great shape. And so currently, in our first iteration, you'll see some of this stuff come out in previews this year. The forms, fields, and on the right side, enumerations and labels and localization is only enabled for entities. We're going to try to rationalize that more and try to make stuff ubiquitous across the concept, primary concepts. Okay, drilling into forms a bit more because it's a new concept, and wanted to explain the difference a little bit between forms and screens. So a screen can have data bound to it from any one of the connectors that Power Apps supports. And then the usual stuff has controls and data bindings to those controls, event handlers. But the big deal about screens is that you can configure the visual experience in them. And that's what makes the apps, really good-looking apps, easy to build. So you can tailor the aspect ratio, the canvas size, shape based on the device. You can do fonts, positions, colors, and sizes. So a form is similar in that it also does data binding, but it only binds to entities in the current iteration. And it doesn't do much beyond data binding. So it does data binding and does control event handlers. The idea is that form is a subcomponent of a screen. So a form is not a standalone thing. You put a form on a screen, and then based on that screen, it kind of shapes itself. And I'll give you a little demo of that. So the idea is you build screens for your experiences you really care about. And then, you know, if you want to do a lot of data input output into entities, that's a supporting experience. You can build forms. All the entities that we ship will come with default forms. As you add custom entities, you can add default forms for them. And then, you know, other people building apps on your entities have a place to start. So let me do this demo to show you what we mean by screens and forms. So again, this is not even a preview. It's our dev test environment. And you'll see some of this stuff coming out later in the year. So I'm going to build an app for a particular form factor, and it's going to put a default screen in there because a screen is all about the visual look and feel in addition to the data bindings. And hopefully, if it doesn't come, I had copy-pasted these slides given it's a test system. Okay, so, oh, maybe we're in luck. I'll go show you the slides and then we can come back and see if it actually works. Okay, so basically the idea here is that we is it the test system? Okay. So this is a normal screen. It's landscape mode. I could bind controls to it and set fonts and sizes. I don't want to do that. I just want to put a form on it. So we've called it entity form. And there's predefined forms for our entities that are standard out of the box. So I'm going to put an entity. Let me try this one. And then if I bind that to an entity, it automatically loads that default form configuration, and hopefully it will load the data. But I'll show you the slides from here. So it should load the data, and then I can even go to detail form, and I think we're very tight in this presentation, so I will just show you what I captured earlier this morning. Okay, so you start with an empty canvas, you put a form on it, you bind it to, in this case, I bound it to contact. It shows you a grid. Not only does it show you a grid, but if you click on one of the things, it finds the next form that you need for the details, it shows you that. And then finally, if I size this thing small, the runtime has full control over the rendering and it will show a card layout instead of a grid layout. So, I mean, you see the fact that it's kind of doing things itself and not letting you do it may seem like a hindrance, but at the same time, if you have like 20 entities that you need to do data entry on, and then three that you want to really use on your mobile device, you can see the power of this, that you get the detail forms, the list forms, the card forms automatically built. Okay, and then going forward, we will also have form designers for this declarative model, where you can build specific forms for your custom entities and put them in the shared library so that app builders, these citizen developers or your team members can use those forms. The whole goal here is sharing. The other thing we will have is standardizing these forms with field groups. So if you're AX developer, you already know this concept. The idea is that many people want to customize entities, so they want to add a field to an entity, and they want that field to show up wherever that entity is displayed. Field groups is that way. We have field groups now for forms. We will have field groups for Canvas as well. So that if you look at the bottom left, you add a field number 2 to the entity 1 fields. You add that to the field group called field group 1, and field group 1 is bound to like N forms. All of those forms automatically get that control. So this scenario works very well for customization because the customer just has to go add one field to the entity, drag it into the field group, and all the UIs then light up. Okay, and then here are some examples of field groups where you have default lists, default details, that kind of stuff. Then we have a demo Arjit. We'll actually show you a real app that we've built on CDM.
So I think you've already seen this app maybe before in one of the demos, but I just want to go ahead and show you, I just deep dive into the app. So I'm actually projecting this app from my phone on the right-hand side. So I'll just go ahead and click the sales app. So this app was built using a custom template, using some of the CDM entities. I'll go into the design of the app. First, let me show you what it does. And I'll show you what are the data connections it has and how you can actually go ahead and build complex apps on CDM entities. And as Arif mentioned, we are having more and more enrichments on the CDM and the Power Apps platform. So you will be able to build much more richer apps with form controls and a whole host of things which the Power Apps and the CDM team are building. So while it loads up, so bear up with the Wi-Fi. It's a bit slow here. I'm just connecting directly out here. So this was the target of this app was like a modular function, like for the sales team. However, you can build it for any departmental function, then give them an app. So common things are like stores or receiving warehouses where they are very specific set of functions. You really don't want to build very complex and complex screens and spend a lot of money or dollars on integrators or partners to build very complex systems. So you take Power Apps. So this is the app. I'll just go ahead and click get started. So once you get started, it pulls in data. So the top one, it gets my image from my Office 365 profile. It's going to go ahead and get a whole bunch of other data from my O365 user profile. So here it's got my name, it's got my designation, phone number, blah. Apart from that, it also has certain menu functions. It's got customers, products, orders, and cases, very specific to the sales function. But as I said, you can go ahead and extend it. So if I click on customers, you'll be able to see a list of all the customers. And these are customers that are coming basically from the CDM entity. In the back end, you can have this customer as a consolidation from CRM, AX, or even any third-party systems. You can click on each customer and go into details. You can edit them. Come back. You can see the list or the total number of customers on the main screen, 33. I can go into products. So this will show me a list of, the list of all the products that are available. We have support for images. So if you really want to have a very rich screen showing all the different product images, you can do that. These are the list of orders in the system. So very simple for people who are actually on the storefront or looking at orders or even going ahead and creating orders. Oops. So here are the sales orders. So you see it's getting orders, it's summing up the lines. So it's pretty complex, going through a whole lot of entities, looking at taxes, charges, and a whole lot of things. Click on each order, you'll be able to get the details of that order, and so on. Now, how is this app built? So on the left-hand side is actually the Power App Studio, and these are the screens which have been used. So there are 12 screens. You can make very fancy apps. You have a lot of controls in the Power Apps Studio. So on the right-hand side, we have the data sources. So you can go ahead and add your different data sources. You can also go ahead and create your own data source. You have custom connections available. So I already have a data source. I'm going to cancel it. So these are all the CDM entities which have been used in this app, as well as the Office 365 and the Office 365 users. As we are saying, it's kind of a mashup where I'm getting data from multiple different systems and getting data into one common platform, which is enabling me to get visibility about, I'd say, 360 degree view of my customer, my products, my orders, my people. So the entire backend is kind of abstracted from the end user, and the tools which we are providing for the non-developer kind of people or the citizen developer or people who fall sick when they hear of Visual Studio, it's for them, and it'll help them build rich, powerful apps. And very small departmental apps, as Arif mentioned, maybe just for stationery, just for the stores. If you have a very small HCM or human resources department, or even if you're a startup and you want to get things sorted out, your stock, your costs, your budgets, absolutely this is the way to go. So Arif.
Yeah, and with the connectors and CDM data feeds, we want to just give you a choice. And I think your scenarios will drive the right direction for you. Do you want to connect directly back to your CRM system with the CRM connector or the AX connector? That option will be available to you, or you can have a feed from that system that you pump into CDM. So there's no right answer. Your deployments and some characteristics you care about are what will drive that. So just a summary of that app, it has 5 entities, 12 screens. Forums will be coming soon. As soon as we get it out of preview, we will build sample apps on it. It uses 2 connections and many expressions. Okay, next thing we wanted to cover was, so we saw the, what CDM can be used for: operational data store, transaction processing store. It's not a data warehouse, but it can publish to Power BI or analytics services. In addition to that, CDM is a database with standard business entities. And why did we do that? So the main reason we did that is we want a standard schema to be out in the world that people can count on. So the standard schema we have with CDM today can be extended. You can add fields to it. You can relate custom tables to it, but you can't reduce it. So you can't delete columns, you can't delete our tables or entities. So with this, in every deployment of Power Apps, you will have the schema, and it will make the movement of apps, the purchasing of apps, much easier, we hope. So you buy a base app, and then you do your extensions, and that, when we have field groups, the kind of extensions will naturally show up in that app is one scenario. So we have shipped quite a few entities, even in the preview, and we're working with many of you to get feedback on what you would like or what you didn't like about those. So roughly 60, they're foundational things like address, currency, users, and roles. We focused a lot on people and organizations, and then some areas, sales, purchasing, and case management. You can extend standard schema, and as I said before, you just can't reduce it. So what do we use standard entities for ourselves? And so we'll walk you through a scenario where we're using standard entities and standard patterns in the common data model to link up with Office. And in this example, we're going to talk about two features that we're thinking about. We may preview later this year. We have an Outlook add-in that we want to put in Outlook that understands the CDM entities and can connect to them. And then we want to put activity pane control in the Power Apps toolkit that understands graph and obviously understands the people, organizations, and activities in CDM. So what scenarios will this enable? Picked one scenario that starts in Outlook and then from Outlook goes to a Power App. So in this case, Joe is the guy on the top left. He's receiving emails from his customer, Mark. So he highlights the email and the Power Apps Outlook add-in lights up and says, oh, this person is in known in CDM database. It's actually Mark Smith, who is from the Acme account and has one active sales order. So at this point, Joe can click on the sales order, which will start the Power App. And with the new activity pane control, he sees all the activity that's gone on for this sales order. Not only that, but this activity pane control will also have direct integration with Exchange. So Joe can just create an email right here in his Power App and send it. And not only does it send the email via Exchange, but it also updates the CDM data store because it's a transaction processing store in addition to that ODS. And it tracks the fact that the email was sent at this time by Mark. And this sort of functionality you've seen in many business apps, we're trying to make it easy for you to have Outlook and Exchange integration from Power Apps with the common data model. So once again, yeah, this was a scenario. You have Outlook, Exchange, Common Data Model, Power Apps all working together to improve productivity. The last thing we would like to talk about, we want to leave a little bit of time for questions, hopefully we get there, is this grand vision, you know, going back to the operational data store. And we want to end with a scenario that's kind of listed in the middle there, which is a 360-degree product data overview. So we're synchronizing data into, so again, this is a vision scenario, so don't take a picture and say it's coming out. This is just us playing around to figure out what directions we want to take. So here, what we're going to show is data coming in from many sources into the common data model. And then on the right side, we want to build and share apps. And in the case, in this exercise, what we're doing is building and sharing a pro dev app. So it's not a Power App. It's not. It's built on our SDK that will come on the CDM to do data access and other things. And you know, to kind of build it up, this is kind of hard to understand if you're just looking at the visuals. So we'll flip back and forth. This is the same picture you saw before of the CDM, where you have a security model, you have a common data model. In this case, I've filled in here some of the entities that we're going to use. So we're going to use a product graph. So product graph is you know, a type of product, then maybe some categories under it. We're going to use cars. So the type of product will be a car. Some categories under it will be the type of car, like a SUV or a sedan or something. It's a standard thing. Then you have product, and then we will add some additional things that come from other systems like events against the product, like a sales order that comes in for the product or invoice that comes in for the product is an event. And then there will be product insights that also come into the CDM. Product insights can come from either telemetry, like if your car is one of the newer cars that communicates with the manufacturer, then you get telemetry from that. You can get telemetry from social sentiment, where you can go search for BMW and see if it's trending up or down. Kind of bring all that data together in this scenario and see what that looks like. So here, in our scenario, we're going to try to do these. We have three inputs into our data store. So they are telemetry, social engagement, and Dynamics AX product graph. And they either go straight into CDM. Some things like telemetry, it's too much volume, so they don't go straight into CDM. They're first processed with through Azure and Cortana intelligence features so that we can summarize them. Where did it go? Theories of intelligence, wow. anyway. Hopefully some of these are not just theories and we can put them into production, but some of these things will go through Cortana intelligence so we can summarize the data a bit more. We do have plans to put non-relational stores under the CDM SDK. We don't have those yet, so at this point we don't want to put non-relational bulk volume type data into the CDM. So we're running it through the cognitive services. But keep this picture in mind. The idea is that we're going to show you an app, and the scenario is the customer has purchased this fairly complex app that has all these data feeds powering it, and you've released it to your team or group, and you've opened the common data model with security intact for Power BI, Power Apps, and Flow. So what could happen? So let's do the demo, and I have to remember to take this link off before we publish the deck. So we have this demo in the cloud. It's a real app, and it's running on a schema, common data model schema. The idea is that this is a product graph, so we synchronize some data from our system of record, which is AX, and it built a graph. So we have the product type, in this case, which is car, then you have type of car, and then specific models of car, which this is the product. So you have product category, multiple levels, and then a product. And then AX also has a bill of materials, so we just made up a bill of materials for cars, which are just engine and chassis.
Yeah, this one also shows the engine or chassis, which is being shared between different models or different cars. Sorry, so this one also shows the relationship between, like, if there's any engine which is being shared between different cars or any other kind of hierarchy. So you'll get a visual of, the entire hierarchy of this this auto builder.
Right, and this control is fairly easy to get. If you go search for hierarchy controls, I'm sure you'll hit this one. Our goal eventually with Power Apps is to have extensible controls. So right now, this is not a Power App, it's a custom app. But as soon as we get control extensibility, you'll be able to bring in these simple-to-use JavaScript controls. The idea here, then, is this is driven by CDM, but in a custom app, it says Contoso software, so we definitely know it's not from Microsoft. And so we're going to drill into one of these. I'll drill into the SUV. And here, this is going to be a Power BI, a Power BI dashboard that is showing the details of that car, the product insights that we brought in. So if I just quickly flip back to, not this one. This one. Maybe I'll leave it like this.
This is
not this one. I apologize.
This is more of the heterogeneous data source which you saw. It's getting data from social feeds. It's getting data from Twitter. And it's also getting processing a lot of big data via IoT. So assume that your vehicle has sensors. They all come into the Azure data lake via event hubs. So you get all the data, process it, get them into the Azure data catalog, and then pump the related data into the CDM entity. So that's one of the data sources of this. But as Arif said, there are a lot of other data sources which is actually contributing to this Power BI dashboard, which is being shown out here.
Right. So I'll show you the data model we used here. But the idea here is that you have these telemetry, social engagement, and online service. And then what the app could do, because you have those time series in stored as custom entities in the common data model, is you can then you can calculate some different insights. So you can pick different data series. I'm going to pick service, unplanned service events, and then also on social engagement, I can try.
This is the Cortana Analytics that's powering this behind it. So if you want to see a correlation between, what is the negative buzz and how is it related to unplanned services, and you want to do an analysis, this is like how you'd go ahead and select the data.
Yeah. So in this case, we've kind of set up the data so it matches up, but just trying to give you an idea. So we take two series. We have standard algorithms on the server that take sentiment analysis, look at words inside Twitter feeds to say if they're positive or negative. We take our Twitter data, run it through Cortana Analytics Services, run it through some algorithms. I don't know why this guy.
Saying Cortana, so it's just waking up.
Oh, I see. Every time I say the word, it will wake up. Yes. So in this, I won't put... So basically, the purple here is the time series that was processed by X Intelligence. And then the time series persisted back in the CDM, and then the greenish-blue one here is the unplanned service incidents that came across from AX. And then we can visualize these in Power BI, and the person knows that, it seems like the negative sentiment precedes the unplanned service events. Maybe people are going and searching for a problem and then leaving bad things there. So what I would really like to do is track this purple time series and know about it as it's trending down, so maybe I can do something. And now, if you remember that picture, I won't try to flip back and forth, it wasn't working that well, but we have enabled the common data store for our departmental developers, citizen developers, and what this third-party app developer has done, it's very easy to integrate with Flow. So they've integrated a create a flow button, so we have the same integration in SharePoint, and any app can do the same thing. Where you say create a flow and it's pre-populated with a template that makes sense for this particular scenario. And when I click that template, it will log me into Flow. And I think, am I logged in?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm logged in, so it already knows I'm going to use this template and already knows my databases. If I had more than one, I would see them, but I'm going to pick this particular one because I only have one. And once I do that, then again, this I'm not a developer. I'm a team member, department member. This is my personal flow, and I'm building it on that that sentiment analysis time series, whenever that time series hits a certain inflection point or value, which I can create an expression here to track, then it will send me an email. I'll go back, log into my app, and see what's going on. So we're running a bit short on time, so I will not go further into it. We also wanted to show that you could build a Power app. Let me just show you the... So all the stuff that's not colored is stuff we're bringing from other systems, through some of those staging table stuff that we picked up off of AX, some of that technology. In AX, we also have the Cortana Intelligence integration, so we can come up with a contrived scenario here to make it work, but the really thing that we want to show here is that once this data then is in CDM, you kind of empower your teams and citizen developers to build with those easy-to-use flows and Power Apps. The other thing we wanted to show is there may be some cases that you know are unique in this scenario that you could not do in the original CRM system or the original AX system. So in this case, we've created a case entity and connected it to the negative sentiment, or not the negative, I connected it to the product insight table that we have, so that you know when you're creating those flows, the flow could just go and create a case for you. Then you go look at the Power App for cases, and it would take you from case to the sentiment, and you could look at what the negative sentiment is. So fairly powerful scenarios. Obviously, when you bring data together from multiple sources, you have powerful scenarios, and that's what we want to enable for everybody in the enterprise, not just the development or IT folks. So that is it, and we have 8 minutes and 30 seconds, so if you guys have questions, we can take those. If not, then thank you very much, and please fill in your reevaluation for this session.